Okay, so let's begin. We're going to start from Ayin Vav Aleph. And we'll start at the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara here is trying to figure out, in the beginning of the Mishnah, it talks about a miscommunication, you could say, between an employer and an employee, or at least between two parties. And the Mishnah wants to clarify what that is. So it says, it doesn't say in the Mishnah that they retracted, they backed out of the agreement. Rather, it says that they tricked each other. And the case is, we have polim tricking one another. So, what's the case? Oh, so the case is that the balabayas appoints an agent to hire other workers for him, and then the agent tricks the workers that are hired. Okay. That in and of itself is interesting. We have sort of a middle party here, right? That's the case here is that you have somebody who is hiring workers, but not for themselves, for somebody else. So the Gemara says, hey, chidami, what's the case? So if the case is with the Baal Bias said to pay them four, and he said to pay them three. So then, Taras Ma'avite, what is the argument, what is the complaint in the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah says that there is some sort of complaint which arises since there was a miscommunication here, and that wouldn't be the case if simply they accepted less than the Baal Bayis wanted to offer. So for the Kabbal, they accepted it. So fine. So no, the case is where you have the person who actually owns the property, he promises to pay them three, and then this agent, the middleman, promises to pay them four. So hechidami, what's the case? And here's where it gets interesting, and this will be our focus today. If he says to them, Scharchem alai, nasiv lehu midide. If he says to them that I'm going to pay you, so then he has to actually pay them. So again, what happened was we had the actual owner of the field. Let's say he got an agent to hire workers for him. He promised to pay three. The agent promised to pay four. Now, if the agent had said, Scharchem alai, I am going to pay you four, so then he actually does have to pay them four. He himself, with his own money, needs to pay them four.
What
can you recover is good.
Recover what?
Well, I'm actually going to hit that in a second. Dumrlay, balabai. Well, I was going to hit that in a second. Good question. So, well, let's just see a second. To Tanya, it says, if a person hires a worker to do field in his field. So let's say I'm the middleman, and I tell a bunch of people who are construction workers, here, would you go please, construct this wall on my property? And it's not my property. And he shows him his friend's property. Really, it's somebody else's. So what is the halacha there? The halacha is no sin lo sacharo mishalim. He can go and collect his pay. He has to pay the workers full salary, whatever he promised them. And then he goes and collects from the Baal Bayis that which he caused him benefit. Now, there's two different parts of this. So there's really two things going on. One is that there's somebody who's a middleman who is hiring workers for somebody else, and yet he has to pay them. And that's what I really want to focus on, which is what is the nature of that agreement? When does he have to pay them, and why does he have to pay them? Okay, and then there's the other half of it, which is that he then gets to go collect from the Baal Bayis. Now, in this particular circumstance, the Baal Bayis told him to hire the workers, but he did not tell them to pay them this much. Right? He didn't tell them that he's overpaying, essentially. So then the Gemara says that, therefore, that's a problem. If this is really the case, you would have to pay the workers their full salary. Now, just to point out, the cases are not the same, okay? Meaning, the case the Braisa is talking about is a case where he is not told by anybody to hire anything, and he socher these polim, and they think that they're working for him,
but really they're working for somebody else. That's the case in the Braisa. Basically, he's tricking them. And the Braisa says that he has to pay them what he promises. Right? We'll talk about what are the important elements of that case such that he has to pay them. The case of the Mishnah is not that, right? The case of the Mishnah is a case where we have Schar Chamalai. So what's probably happening in the Mishnah is you have this guy, he goes to them, he says, I am going to pay you. It's not clear that he's pretending that's his field. He's not. He's just saying, it's my friend's field, but he's saying, I'm going to pay you. He's not lying. He's being honest, but he's accepting responsibility. What Meiri says is the cases are comparable. If you look at that, a case in which I tell you that I am going to pay you, well, it's two factors, actually. Let me take a step back. Number one, he's lying. Meaning the Baal Bayis, the actual owner of the field, did not actually tell him to pay them four. He told him to pay him three. But in terms of the fact that it's the friend's field, he's being honest with that. So Meiri says it's like since he lied on the one hand, so that sort of disrupts the relationship between the middleman and the actual owner of the field. On the other hand, so in that sense, right, and in that sense, right, so it's in that sense, it's similar to a case where you lie about whose field it is. Meaning, in both cases, there's a lie occurring in this circumstance. So once you lie, once the middleman lies here and says, oh, the Baal Bayis is going to pay you more than he actually promised to, so then that's the similarity between these two cases. Essentially, then you're on your own. Then it's essentially you're the one hiring these workers, and you're just hiring them to do work for somebody else's field.
But so the case where the Baal Bayis is four, so Baal Bayis is three, and he says four because he lied. Meaning that's case in point. So then he has to pay it of his own pocket.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Right. And the case where he tells it, where he says this is my field and it's really his friend's field. Same idea.
Right. Now I want to later talk about if the lying is the point. Like, that's why. But in this case, that's how the Meiri understands that we're...
In the case of the friend's field, who pays?
Which friend's field?
He originally shows them his field.
Hasokras? He pays. That's our case.
Right.
Meaning that's the case of the Bryce, though.
Correct. They went to work on his friend's
field. Correct.
So he has to pay.
The rent, not the person who is actually hiring these workers,
right,
has to pay.
Okay, so I don't know what the
Chiddush means. And Chiddush where?
And what would the opportunity be in any other way?
Why would you pay otherwise? Because you're... Okay, that's a good question. You didn't get anything out of it.
So what? That's his
point. Okay, so...
He showed them the other field.
Okay, so the question... You're making a good point. You're making a good point. There's two questions here. One is whose fault is it, which is what you're focusing on. The other one is what obligates me to pay somebody for working for me? Does just a promise do that? So that's part of the question here. What we're going to want to discuss, which I was going to in a second, is do we look at this as simply a normal case of an employer hiring a worker? And that's what's going on here. Essentially, it doesn't matter whose field it is. When I tell you to do something for me and you agree to do it, that's an employment contract, or is this different? Because it's not mine. I also lied, right? How does that change things? But that being said,
there still are obvious differences, you know, between the case of even according to Meiri.
Like, right, right.
It's still not 100% similar.
It isn't. But he says it's like. It's similar in the case that once I'm agreeing to pay you four, then I think the way he's looking at it, you could have argued, but the Gemara is equating that. Gemara is equating a case where I'm honest about whose field you're working in, I just lie about your salary, I lie about a representative, and a case where I'm lying about who you're working for. And I think, exactly, he's equating, the Gemara equates these two cases, and Meiri's saying, look, that the equation is based on the fact that in a case where you lie, essentially, you're hiring on your own. There's no connection. You're not no longer acting as an agent of the owner of the field. You're acting upon your own behalf, in which case then we get into the laws of what happens when you hire workers for someone else. That's the way he looks at it. Fine. So the Gemara says that can't be the case, though. Then he has to pay him full. So then the Gemara says, no, lo tzricha d'amar lahu, sarach hamal abayis. Good. I'll stop there for now. So then they say, no, the case is where you say, sarach hamal abayis. So now what happened? I said that I am going to pay for, so I told you, I still lied, but I said the Baal Bayis is the one who is, who's going to pay you. So I lied twice. Or either way, I said, I didn't lie twice. But it was one lie, but
one lie that affected both
right,
states.
Right. So the point is, exactly. One compound lie. So now what happens is, so how do we look at this case? So here the Mi'iri says that this is similar to being more open, meaning you say, here, look, this is somebody else's field, and this is somebody else's field, and I'm hiring you, or I am an agent, essentially, and you do work in somebody else's field, right? Because here, the guy's saying the Baal Bayis is going to pay you. Now, again, he lied about how much the Baal Bayis promised to pay him, but essentially, now the middleman doesn't have much of a role. The middleman is sort of an afterthought, a side effect of the case. Really, what's happening here is that there are workers working for a Baal Bayis who isn't here currently, but they're working for him. They're not. The middleman is no part of the actual transaction. Now, so that's that case. So what we do see from this Gemara, though.
One second.
Yeah.
So then they won't be hired at all? Like what?
Then it's a case of Yorid. Right? Essentially, why? So, good question.
So he's not going to have to pay anything.
Who? Zohar, yeah, that's the whole point. Right? So, we have a middleman, but the middleman is essentially hiring. Well, in our case in the Mishnah, focusing on our case just for a second, taking a step back, you had a middleman, but the middleman is essentially, you know, delivering a message. He's a messenger. He's not playing a part in this employment relationship. He's just saying, look, this guy wants to hire you, and he wants to hire you for a certain amount of money, and he's going to pay you. I'm just delivering a message. I'm delivering the words. I'm telling you what he wants. Now, that being the case, so then what is the halacha when you go and work for somebody? If you go and work for somebody, and if he had actually said what the Baal Bayis had wanted, right? If the Baal Bayis had actually said, pay them four, and then this guy just delivered his words, that would be one thing. That would be a normal relationship. But here, it's not what happened. Here, what happened was that he lied. He said he wants to pay you four when he didn't say four. He wanted to pay them less than that. So here, the Mi'iri again says, so sort of, there's no agreement that's actually in play here. Right, they agreed to work for more than the employer wanted to hire them for. So essentially, what you have in this case is somebody going into another person's property and working for them without any prior agreement, and that is another big sugya, which is relevant to the second half of this equation. But I don't really want to get into that. Which is what happens when I work on your property without you telling me to. And in this Gemara, what we're essentially saying is, assuming that that was a job that the property was fit for, like it helped. So if you have a garden and I water the plants, and clearly that's something that is desirable. Like gardens are there to be watered and to be planted. So then you have to pay me market rate. That's the halacha.
It's market rate?
Yeah, I think. I mean, here he says kaminag hamadina, and that's why you have to see how much they would make. Okay? If, again, and this is a longer sugya, but if that wouldn't be the case, if the case would be where it's, you know, you did something for me that wasn't fit for my property. So let's say, I don't know, it was sort of a flower garden and you planted, like,
coconuts.
Yeah, or whatever, like vegetables or something like that, then you don't get paid for that for your salary. You get the lesser of your expense or the appreciation, the value of my property, right? Well, oh, yeah. Well, you didn't, yeah, okay. So if he had actually ruined it, then you're making a great point. The assumption is he didn't even ruin it, but it wasn't like ready. That's not something that was clearly desired. But that's sort of a side topic. But what we do see, so we have this interesting case here, again, where
you had sort of two different models of a middleman hiring on somebody else's behalf. So what it seems like is we have the two sort of extreme cases. One is where I hire someone and I'm clear that I'm hiring them for somebody else, and I'm just delivering the message, sort of, right? So that's one case, and there it seems that that's really on the employer, the Baal Bais. The other case is where I lie and I say it's my field, but it's not really my field. And again, both of these cases might be where there's no previous agreement from the actual owner of the field. Okay, I'm just doing this. So then, what about middle cases? What about where I don't specify whose field it is? I just sort of ask you to work. I don't give you any indication as to who owns the field. And what's the nature of this relationship when, again, I'm hiring somebody but not for my field? So I wanted to quickly look at two other Gemaras, and I think it clarifies the issue, and it's a very interesting discussion. So, Kuf Yud Aleph Amr Aleph. Let's turn there for a second. So here, the Gemara is talking about the laws of Baal Talin. Baal Talin Lo Talin Pulat Zachir Ircha Ad Boker is the prohibition in the Torah of paying a worker after the appropriate amount of time. For a night worker, you have, I think, that next day, and then by the next night, if you haven't paid them, you violate the prohibition. You have to pay your workers on time. The question is, what if I hire a worker, but they're not working for me? So Gemara says, this is actually the last two lines of Kuf Yud Amud Beis. Gemara says as follows, okay? So Tanu Rabbanan, Ha'omer Lechaviro, Sei Sechor Li Po'alim, Shneem Ein Ovrin Mishum Baal Talin. So a person tells his friend, go hire workers for me. Both of them do not violate Baal Talin. Both of them. Zelefi Shalos Secharan. This one because he didn't actually hire them. Now, meaning the person who actually owns the field or who's actually benefiting from the job, so they don't have to pay because they didn't do the hiring. They don't violate this prohibition because they hired a middleman to the hiring. Now, there's an interesting question here, which I'm sure some of you may have discussed during Seder, I don't know what me and Ezra did, which is usually when you appoint a shliach to do something for you, so we say shlucho shalom kamoso. Why wouldn't this be the same? Meaning if I hire an agent to hire somebody else for me, shouldn't it be as if I'm the one that's hiring them, and then it should be that I'm over? So a simple look at Rashi, it sounds like there are cases in the, because he just says lo kri nesachir gabe sicharo v'yomotin sicharo. So it would seem Rashi, just from a simple understanding, would be saying that there are some cases where we have unique miutim. We limit the case to you specifically. There are cases where we have, the Torah says it has to be you, and it's just an exception to the rule of shluchu shalom kamoso. There might not be any logic behind it, just that the Torah said that you have to be the one. Some other interesting answer I saw, because it's more
so
like
you're
saying, a cause of that. So we don't say shluchu shalom kamoso.
You said that there is no real employer-employee relationship between the original Baal
Bais. Isn't
that what Rashi is saying?
It sounds like, no, to me, I think Rashi is just saying, in terms of specifically, although look at Rashi in a second later, this is going to be relevant for another sugya, but in terms of the prohibition of paying a worker on time, there's a cause of exception that only is if you're the one that hired them, not if the shliach did it. Now it's troubling because it's hard to figure out where exactly. It just says you cannot withhold wages from your worker until the morning. Who says that your shliach isn't, if your shliach hires and it's not your worker, it's not clear. 100%. Some other answers that I just saw. So the Tosfos read says that it's sort of like a mitzvah shebegufo, meaning there are certain cases where it needs to be you doing it because or else it's different. So for instance, I can't get a shliach to put on tefillin for me. Because, what do you mean? Isn't as if I'm putting on the tefillin, though. Because the tefillin needs to be on your body. And if it's not on your body, then you're not getting the mitzvah. So here, what the script says is, when you hire them personally and you have that relationship with them, so then they really expect to get paid on time. Because you're the one communicating with them. And then they rely on you. However, when you hire a middleman to do the employment, meaning to hire them, so then they don't have the same reliance on you, and therefore we don't say
that's what creates the about power and the fact that they're relying on you.
Yes. It's also the worker's expectance that he knows if I'm being hired by a middleman, I probably won't get paid today.
Right. Right. Exactly. Okay. We can leave it there. It was one.
That?
What?
Who said that?
That's the Tulsa's Rid. There's another answer that. What? What'd you say?
There was the Ritzvah, no?
That maybe we don't say. It's just, that's a strange answer, which is that we don't say Shlucho Sha'am Kamosu Lechovaso. That if the Shlichos is going to result in you, it will result in your detriment. That it will harm you, either physically or spiritually, because now you're going to violate an avera, then the shlichus doesn't work for that. That's a bothersome answer, because the shlichus itself was fine. You just appointed a shliach to hire workers. It happened to be you did a bad job of paying them on time.
Right. I mean, we had the same question. Like, if someone would have a shliach to get them married, and then they cheated on their wife, and
exactly.
They get an avera,
it doesn't make any sense.
Shliach lechavasa, really?
It doesn't. So you can work on that answer. And then there's one more answer. Rashash, I actually looked at this. Rashash says that maybe it's mili, meaning what is it? Shlichus usually has to be for a particular. I'm hiring you to perform a particular task for me, which involves either a halachic transaction or an action. If I just hire you to hire other workers, do you really have the status of being my shliach? Now, you could have argued on either of those, but either way, bottom line, the Gemara is saying that the person who actually is the job is being done for, so they don't violate Baal Talim because they didn't hire these workers. V'zeh lefi she'em pu'laso etzlo. And the middleman, the agent, does not violate Baal Talim because aim pulaso etzlo. So sounds like the work is not by him. He's not the recipient of this production. So then, hey, Achidami, Gemara says, what do you mean? What is the case here? Ida amel hu scharchem alai, if he says scharchem alai, sechar alav hu, then it's on him to pay. If he tells them that I'm going to pay you, so then it is pulaso etzlacha. So here the Gemara sounds like what it's saying is it doesn't really matter. Again, this is important for us. It doesn't really matter, at least in terms of Baal Talin, who the job is being done for. What matters is who is required to pay the workers. Bottom line, if I go to you and I tell you, hey, could you do this job for me and I'm going to pay you, so that creates a relationship. It is an obligation for me to pay you, and if I don't pay you, I violate Baal Talin. It doesn't really matter whether or not you're doing the work for me, right? Now that's interesting.
Well, it might.
It might, but at least in terms of Baal Talin, if the middleman, the agent says I'll pay you, then he is over. Sounds like it. It is pula so etzla. So now, the Tanya, and how do we know? And this is an interesting proof. So this is an important point out. Hasocher es apoel la sos b'shalo v'her'eyu b'shal chaviro no sin lo scharo mishalem v'chozer v'noto mi ba'abayis ma'sheheh ne'oso. So our same halacha, how do you know that p'ulaso etzlo? How do you know that in a case where an agent hires a worker to work for somebody else that he is obligated to pay them? Well, it's this case where the guy lies and says, hey, work for me, but it's not really for him, it's for another party. And then in that case, he is obligated to actually pay the workers. Stopping here for a second, this is, again, a strange equation. We have no indication in this case that there's any lying going on here, right? The case is simply, I get a middleman to hire workers for me. And then the middleman goes and hires the workers. And he says, Harchem Alai, I have to pay you. Now, there's no, it doesn't seem like it's a case where he's lying about anything. It's simply, I am allowed to go and hire workers for somebody else and pay them and then get the money from the balabais, okay? So, again, and that's fine. It doesn't need to be the same case, but the Gemara, it sounds like the Gemara is equating them.
It could be a Kal v'chomer.
Yeah, that's fair.
Kal v'chomer fair, pays fair. For when he's lying, that if he's telling the truth, of course he has to pay.
Right, he says he's going to pay. if you tell workers that they're going to work, that you're going to pay them for the work they do for you, you got to pay them. Fine.
The price with Shaloy and Shal Chaveroy, do the workers know that it's not his, that it's Shal Chaveroy?
That is an important point. That is an important point. We're going to go back to that.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like, according to the, we'll see in a second, but according to the Rush.
So this price, it would seem, right, if they right. think that it's his.
Right, so according to the Rush makes it clear, and the Sma on Shulchan Aruch make it clear that it really all depends upon what was the expectations of the workers going into this deal. What did they think? That's what makes this relationship. But good question. So we say, no, so lo tzricha d'amlus harchem al ba'abayis. No, the case is rather that he said the ba'abayis will pay you, the owner will pay you. Then we have this interesting story, which I think all of us had fun looking at during Seder. Yehuda bar Meimar amalei shames. So Yehuda bar Meimar says to his shames, Zil ogli polim, go hire workers for me. The imlehu sarkam abalabais, and then tell them that I'm going to pay them. Meaning, here's a great way to get out of paying my workers on time. I'll fine. And then Rab Barifuna, sorry. Marei Mar Zutra used to hire for each other. So again, what they're doing here is they're using a middleman to hire rather than hiring personally, so that they're not subject to the prohibition of Baal Tullin, as the Gemara says. Tosos points out that that they're not actually planning on not paying the workers on time. That wouldn't be a very honest, ethical thing to do. That would be pretty bad. That would be twisting the law to wrong someone else. And he points out that there is another prohibition here, which is Baal Tishahe, which is essentially another prohibition against paying workers after the appointed time. Even when Baal Talm doesn't apply, they'd still be getting a lot of Divrei Kabbalah. So he suggests that they were just worried that there might be a case where, you know, they get caught up and something happens and they're pressured. You know, like the day you're supposed to pay their workers, you know, I don't know, like you have a wedding that day and a bar mitzvah, and lo and behold, it's, you know, 12:01, and you missed the deadline, so they don't want to get an avera, and Baal Tishah wouldn't apply, because this other prohibition is only when you purposefully don't pay someone who is obligated, you're obligated to pay.
Baal Tishah is subjective, meaning it's just what the expectation
that's
is.
What the, right? That's what the Tosa Rosh, I think, says. Yeah, it's dependent upon our... So I think Baal Tishah is when you essentially negligently prolong paying your worker.
Right.
And if you're not negligent, then it doesn't apply. So, okay.
Bottom line, what do we get from this Gemara, Legabe, the case right. of...
So what's interesting, though, I will tell you this. The question is, or an interesting point, we'll get to the Kviyachas. The question is, what about, when do we say... In what case do we say that the socher is chayv and Baal Tullin? When do we say it? So, clearly if he says charchem alai, then he is chayv and Baal Tullin. Clearly if he says charchem alabayis, he is not chayv and Baal Tullin. What if he doesn't say anything? So here, all the mefarshim, or not all, I shouldn't say that, the Rush and the Rif, both say that the socher is chayiv in Baal Tullin unless he clarifies that it's the Baal HaBayis who will pay. Meaning, even if he just says, let's take it step by step. Even if, let's say he's clear, no. If he just says, okay, here's the field and you're going to get paid $10 an hour, and doesn't clarify whose it is or who's going to do the paying, then it's on him to pay. That is what the Rif says explicitly. And the Rosh essentially just quotes the Rif. So in a case where it's not clear, the responsibility falls on the middleman, on the agent. He can be held accountable for not paying.
Because of the Paulim's assumption.
What?
Because of the Paulim's assumption that it's his?
Well, the Paul's assumption is an interesting factor. The question is why, and that's sort of what I wanted to talk about. However, if you look at Kuf Yeches, put a Kuf Yeches for a second, before we get into the actual Gemara, which is going to be end of being important.
Thank you.
So Tosos argues, it sounds like he argues. Tosos says, again, because we essentially have two conflicting factors here in terms of how we would understand based on the Gemara. On the one hand, the Gemara on Kuf Yud Aleph sounded like it was a standard case, no lying going on. It's just that the middleman says, accepts the responsibility to pay. Right? On the other hand, we have the case in which we say the middleman has to pay from the Braisa is where he lies. And he says it's lasos bishalo. He says that it's his field, but it's someone else's field. Another factor is what happened in the case when we had these Rabbanim who wanted to ensure that they wouldn't violate Baal Talin. So what they say scharchem al Baal Habayis. Right? They made sure that the middleman would specify that you are going to get paid by the Baal Habayis. It sounds like if they didn't specifically specify that, the Baal Habayis is going to pay you, then responsibility would fall upon the person hiring the workers, and then they would violate it. So we have a machlokish bishon. And Tosos here on Kuf Yeches Med Aleph says it's not true. It says, Mashma daka lasos bishalo. Az nosin los harom yishalem v'asamolo. This is Tosos Kuf Yeches Med Aleph Dibur Masma lasos bishalo. He says, when is it that the Baal Habayis is going to, the middleman, the socher, will be required to pay these workers? It's only if he says it's his field. However, if he doesn't say, he just says, Stam, go, look, you see this field, here it is. If you mow the lawn or you cut the grass, I am going to pay you $10 an hour. He is not obligated.
No, he just said, he's going to say, I'm going to pay you.
Oh, I said, I'm going to pay you. Yeah. He said, you will get paid. So, right. So if he doesn't specify who's paying him, he doesn't specify whose field it is, then he's not obligated. So we have an argument here. The Rashba also sides with the Rif and says, based on the previous Gemara, it sounds like in a case where nothing is specified, then
where is this Rashba?
The Rashba on Kuf Yeches. Take a look. I'll get to it in a second. The Rashba, it sounds like from the Rashba that unless he specifies that the Baal Habayis will pay, then he's required to pay. Whereas the Ramban, I thought from the Ramban, it sounded that wasn't the case. Now, I'm just taking a step back for a second.
There's two issues here. Which one takes precedence? Whose field it is and who's paying?
Well, what we want to know is
who's
paying.
If he says it's their field but I'm paying, is he on the hook?
Yes. If he says he's paying, he's on the hook.
Even if you
could ask why.
This is not my field.
Yeah, but he's on the hook. Now, you could ask why that's true, but on a basic level, you can require yourself to pay for things like that. That's something you can do. You can say, I'm going to pay you for doing X, Y, and Z. Think of that for a second. What's this argument about? Like, why Tosfos versus the Rif versus the Rashba? What are they arguing about? Right? How should we view it in a case of Stam, where it's not specified whose field it is, it's not specified who's paying? What would you have thought? I was curious for a...
He hired them.
Right.
Him.
So, that's what I would... So, I would... The one way of looking at this, and I think this is the Rush and the Sma and Shulchan Aruch, as I mentioned before, say it's really all about focused on what does the employee think when he's going into this transaction. Meaning, if the employee thinks that he is getting paid by the person hiring him, if I hire someone and they think that I am going to pay them, they think that I'm going to pay them. So regardless of whose field it is, I have to pay them if they then do work for me on my behalf. It's sort of just based on, you know, which would seem to say to me that to create this employment relationship, what we just really need is an agreement or understanding between Powell and the hire, or really even focus on the worker. If a worker does a job for you based on your instruction, and they're assuming that you are going to pay them, then you need to pay them. So for instance, the Rush makes it clear that even in a case where the owner, if you had a case where the person hiring the workers said it was not his field, or didn't make any indication that it was his field, and yet the workers didn't know. They didn't know whose field it was, or their assumption was that he was going to pay them. So it's really all just based on what the Paulin thought. But the question is, if the Paulin did this job assuming that the person who hired them is going to pay them, so then he has to pay them. Mm-hmm. It sounds to me...
Why would Tosfos disagree?
Right, so that's the question. It would seem to me that based on Tosfos and the Ramban, that really, it sounds like, unless you are explicit about it, when you hire somebody to do work for somebody else, that unless you clarify that you're paying them for it, that doesn't create this relationship. It's sort of an exception. And I'll tell you, the Ramban says the reason that in a case where you lie, you have to pay is twofold. One, because you lied. It's not that, he expected you to pay him and therefore you have to pay him. It's because you cheated him. Because you told him it was your field and it wasn't your field.
Why would that...
The lying?
Meaning if at the end of the day he's giving benefit to the Baal HaSod.
Right, so it sounds like I think the Ramban is stressing that and I think the way to frame it is that how do we look at this relationship between employer and employee? And this is the way me and Ezra Sora said during Seder, I think it makes sense. Do we view this as sort of an exchange, or do we view this as like a sale, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're saying that, okay, I am, I would like to buy labor from you, and to buy that labor, I'm going to pay money, and that's essentially what's happening. So then it should just be, if I assume that, that's a rush, exactly. Meaning, who cares? I don't care who the labor's for. It could be for anybody else.
I hired you.
You hired me. But if you view this as sort of like a quid pro quo, meaning I'm trading my benefit to you in return for what you get from me, then you're going to pay me. So then it makes more sense to say that generally the construct of an employment agreement should be that whoever is getting the work has to pay. Now, the Ramban says, in a case where you lie, number one, you lied. And to me, it sounds like it's almost like it's a knas, sort of. And number two, he says, when you say it's your field, it's almost as if you're accepting upon yourself to pay the guy. Meaning, it's as if you said, it's charchem alai. You said you were going to pay him. It's as if you said that. So you can go out of your way to create this almost like side relationship, which is where you can promise to pay somebody for doing work for somebody else. You can do that. But if you don't explicitly do that, if you just sort of ask somebody to do work without explicitly saying I'm going to pay you or it's my field and it's not your field, so that wouldn't create this relationship and therefore you wouldn't be obligated. So that's how I would look at it. I think it does. Another question here to think about, and we don't have that much time, but it's a difficult topic, but it relates to the actual Gemara on Kufya Ches. And I guess we'll at least remaining time, we'll try to take upon this. So the Gemara here, we're going to read in time for a second, is talking about a case, or the Mishnah, where you have an employer who, it says in the Mishnah that if you ask somebody to do work for you, and then they do it, and then you say, instead of me paying you, just instead of that, just take whatever you did as your payment, right? So you're cutting straw or something like that. You're stacking, you're making bundles of straw. So you know what? Instead of taking money, just take the straw. That's your payment. The Mishnah says you are not allowed to do that. By the way, and that in and of itself is interesting. One reason Rashi says it's unique to a poel, that poel, even though generally you can pay people in however form you want, shavakas kesef, so you can pay somebody, you know, if I borrow money from you and I owe you money, I can pay you in money, I can pay you in food, I can pay you whatever you want, whatever I want. And even if I damage your property, there's a certain priority to certain payments, but ultimately, if I get you the value of what I owe you, it's fine. Sacher specifically is unique, and it's, he learns that from the pasuk that you know, Bal talot talim pulat zachir, which implies, or scharo, it says scharo, yibiyomot titin scharo, that you give him his reward. His reward sounds like whatever you agreed upon, and therefore you must pay him money. The Rashba and the Ran, they say it differently. It sounded to me like from the Rashba that it was sort of like a takana derabanan, that look, the guy who's working for you, this is his way of making ends meet. This is his way of getting food and putting bread on the table. You need to give him something that's liquid so that he can spend it as soon as possible, because or else, you know, what's he going to do for dinner tonight? If you give him, like, you know, your stalks of wheat, that's great. But, like, if he doesn't want to eat wheat, what's he going to do? I mean, you got to pay for dinner. So it's sort of like a takana. It sounds to me like from the Ran, you could look yourself, that it was sort of an expectation sort of thing. That's the way when you're a worker, you expect that you're going to get paid money specifically and not other forms of payment, and therefore that's what you need to get paid. That's what the Gemara says. So then we have this Braisa. If you look at the two dots, it says Vatanya Shomen Lo, that no, there is a Braisa which indicates that no, we say that you are allowed to pay him simply what he made, the work he did for you. You can pay him the bundles of wheat. So why is the Mishnah saying otherwise? So first of all, Rav Nachman lo kasha. Kam Mishnah lo kam shachaveru. Okay? No. When do we say that you can't say that to him? That is when he's doing work for you. But if you hire him to do work in somebody else's field, so then you don't have to pay him money. You can pay him, let's say for now, you can pay him in another way. So Amar Le Rav Rav Nachman, Rav says, Rav Nachman, what do you mean? Bishlo, my time, why is it that if I hire somebody to work for me, that I have to pay them kesef? Amar Le Agra Alach, my salary is upon you. You have to pay me. Bishlo, chaver, not misachar olav. In a case where it's chaver also, if I hire somebody to do work for my friend, I also have to pay him. Why? Because of our wonderful, famous Braisa. Again, here it is. D'tanya, sokras apola, sos v'shalo, v'ray b'shal chaver, no sin lo, scharo, mishalem, v'chozer, v'not mi'bal bayis, ma shehe, ne, oso. A person hires a worker to do work in his field, and he shows it to his friend's field, so he pays him the full salary, and he goes and collects from the owner himself. So the Gemara says, no, if I hire you to do work for my friend, I still have to pay you, since I still have to pay you, I have to pay you kesef. We saw an interesting Chaim about this, hav mina maskana, but there's not enough time to go through that, although I'll mention something related to it. Fine. So Elmer Vlam Lokasha, Kam Bishalo, Kam Bishalefker. No, I'll tell you why. In the case of the Mishnah, so if I hire somebody to do work for myself, I have to pay them money. And if I hire them to work for my friend and I'm obligated to pay, I also have to pay them money. No, the case is where I hire them to do work from Hefker. So, you know, sort of a gullible guy. There's a bunch of, we go onto the street and we see some flowers. I say, you know what, I would love it if you could pick those flowers. And you're like, okay, sure. And you go and you pluck the flowers, you make a nice bouquet. You're thinking, great, he's going to pay me. He's like, actually, those aren't my flowers. It's just public property. So you're entitled to keep the flowers and that's your pay. Have a nice day. And I can do that. Apparently, that's
or even some of the flowers you can technically.
Whatever, some of the flowers, whatever it is, yeah.
You really end up ripping the guy.
Yeah, okay, a gullible guy. One lesson we learned from this is that you really shouldn't enter into any agreement unless you know who's paying you and who you're doing the work for.
Read the fine print.
Yeah, just like, be careful. Don't be like one of these gullible, poor Paulim who are just, you know, or walking around just looking for work and not asking any details. Anyways, what is the difference between Hefker and Shachaver? Like, why does it make a difference? Who cares? Who cares? So Rashi says something really interesting. Maybe, I don't even know if we're going to fully explore this. Maybe we'll just... Rashi says, Shomelo, Da'amrele, Kinei Be'a. He says to him, you acquire it. Because he didn't acquire for him. Meaning, Rav Nachman L'Tamei, Da'amrele El, Hamabi L'Tziya Chaver, L'Kana Chaverio. Nimsa She'en Pulato Alav, Ve'en Ka Ba'al Talim. So what happened here? I plucked the flowers for the guy who hired me. But when I plucked those flowers, they're still mine. They're not the employers. They're not the guy who hired me. Because Rav Nachman holds that if I pick up a free object, the object from Hefker, a Metzia, and I do that for my friend to acquire it, it doesn't go through, it doesn't work. So therefore, you don't acquire, he doesn't, the person who hired this worker doesn't acquire the flowers, right? Since that's the case, there's no Baal Talin. Since that's the case, essentially, I think what Rashi's saying is there is no employer-employee relationship here. So it sounds like what Rashi's sort of saying is that in order for me, even if you just do something for me, so that's not sufficient. It needs to be that that either that bought that I got something from you, or that that Baal Tullin applies, that, you know, as a sign that now I have to pay you on time. Simply you plucking flowers for me ain't gonna cut it, and therefore I don't have to pay you. He says Shal Chaveru, it's different. And why?
First of all, you can't just say take the flowers because it's not your property, it's your friend's property. And if he doesn't say the Baal Bais is going to pay you, he has to pay him.
So it's a very difficult Rashi to explain exactly what it is that differentiates between Hefker and a friend. It's not 100% clear from Rashi. It does sound like Rashi's saying that there's something unique about a Poel relationship that wouldn't apply unless you're getting benefit from it. The question is, even if you're doing something for your friend, he's not benefiting. I'll just mention two quick things. The Ramban and the Ran don't like us Rashi. They simply say, no, the case is Hefker, is it's all about the expectation. If you, again, Ramban is the one who thinks that unless you make it clear that you're going to pay the guy, you don't have to pay him. So if I tell somebody to go pick up something from Hefker, if he knows it's Hefker, why should he have any expectation that I'm going to pay him for it? I didn't say I'm going to pay him for it, so that's why he doesn't have to pay. If I say I'm going to pay you, that'd be one case. But that's not the case. The case is simply that I told the guy to get it to pick up something from Hefker. The Rosh put something interesting. He says, no, that's not what's happening here. The case is that it's in the case of Chavero, there's sort of an Arif situation, where since I told you to do work for my friend, I wanted you to do that. So, and he gets Hana. There's another part that gets Hana. I become sort of like an Arev for my friend. I'm a guarantor, and therefore, I have to pay him. Whereas, in the case of Hefker, no one's getting any benefit except for the person who actually picked it up. So, I guess we'll close. We see there's something interesting about these mechanics, and I think this case of a middle party sort of gets at the fundamental elements of what creates this unique relationship between employer and employee. We have different perspectives. We have the Tosfos Rambam perspective, which is that it really takes a certain exchange to create that. Whereas for the Rif, the Rush, no. Every time, generally, the assumption is if I tell you to do something for me, then you are my worker, and that has ramifications for Baal Tullin, and maybe for the Sugya also, which is whether or not you're entitled to pay them in something else other than money. Okay, thank you very much.
Doesn't the Ramban say, I think it's Ramban,